Good afternoon, Amy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing well. And it's actually morning where I am here in the East Coast of the United States. But as you can tell, Amy is not from the US. At least your accent doesn't sound like it, which is why I said good afternoon. So Amy, let's get right into it. Love if you'd introduce yourself to the audience, where you are in the world, and just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Amy Sinha, and I live in Wales, which is in the UK, which is next door to England, not actually in England. In Wales, we have our own separate language, just to clarify. But I am a voiceover artist, and I've been a singer for probably about most of my life, up until about 2 years ago when I decided to do something different. But as you can tell, I love using my voice. And that is really about me. I just love talking and listening and having a conversation with very interesting people like yourself, Jason.
Yes. Well, I think you're in the right place. So in other words, are you saying that you're a cool person?
I'm a very cool person. Yeah.
We'll find out. Challenge accepted. All right. Thanks, Amy. So yeah. So when I hear Wales, that would mean you would be called Welsh. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Got it. Yeah. That makes sense. Thank you for clarifying for all of us, because I think us Americans are like, it's like a, maybe I'll be a dumb American. Like, yeah, there's some islands over there, and there's Scotland and Ireland and the UK. Oh yeah, and there's another thing called Wales. I'm not really sure what that is.
Well, everyone, whenever they hear Wales, they go, oh, that's in England. I'm like, yes. No, next door to England. Yeah, we're our own separate country.
I do have a question, and I hope it's not too sensitive. Is Wales in the European Union?
Not anymore. No.
Oh, so you're following. So like, I want to hear a little bit about that, because it's a separate country, but you are not in the EU. You're actually separating from the EU as well.
Well, it's come in the UK. The UK separates from the EU. Yeah, separated. So England, Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales all are in Great Britain.
Yes.
Britain has now left the EU. Yes.
Has now left the EU. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move on. I don't know if this seems like it might be a sensitive topic. Maybe not for you, but I'm sure it's a sensitive topic. So let's get into it today. All right. First question for you, Amy. What's something that you nerd out about? And I want to actually ask you, what would be a word? How would you ask somebody this from Wales? Like, what would be another word for nerd in Wales? Like, something that you really are excited about or geek out about?
Geek or nerd?
Okay, great. Then I asked you the right question.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be sophisticated, and it's like, nah, it's geek or nerd. So yeah, there's your question. What's something you nerd out about?
Oh my gosh, sci-fis. I love science fiction and the supernatural. I am a huge science fiction supernatural fan. I will can talk about it for ever. I can watch dramas, I can read books on the subjects, I can have long 5-hour conversations on Star Trek and Star Wars and anything on Netflix that's, you know, relevant to that subject. So yeah, I do love that.
Timely topic. So I have a daughter, she's almost 5, she turns 5 in 2 weeks. Actually next week. We just watched episode 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of the Star Wars trilogy. Like in the last 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
She loved them. She loves Princess Leia, obviously. She loves C-3PO and R2-D2. But her favorite episode, which is hilarious, is she likes The Last Jedi because she likes the shiny foxes at the end.
Oh, bless her. Well, that probably is a great one. Although you must kind of not brainwash her, but yeah, you have to brainwash her. So A New Hope. She has to love A New Hope.
Oh, she loved it. I mean, that was the first one. And I was telling her it was cool because I'm 43 and A New Hope came out, I think, in like August of 1977. And I was born in November of 1977. So I was able to talk to her about how, hey, before I was born, but I was in grandma's belly, this is the movie they took me to. And so she thought that was super cool to think about, like when I was a little baby, that I was in my mommy's belly and saw that movie. And it was really, she's like, oh, did you like it? And I'm like, yeah, I think I did. Because when I started liking Star Wars pretty quickly when I was young. So maybe that was one of those things that transferred to me.
Oh, maybe.
I want to ask you about, speaking of sci-fi, did you see Tenet?
Which one? Tenet. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. Okay. Then I won't be able to ask you about that. Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica?
I haven't got into that, no. But can I say one? If you're going to come,
yes, please.
Do that at me. I absolutely loved, I don't know if you've seen on Netflix, Dark.
I haven't seen it yet.
Amazing. Literally one of the best sci-fis that I have ever seen. Although I haven't seen Battlestar Galactica, I must antenna. But it is absolutely amazing. It's actually based in Germany. It's in German. But oh my God, the concepts are literally, you have to be focused. One, because you have to read the German subtitles in English, obviously. And you have to concentrate on the story. And it is just, it's for a hardcore sci-fi fan.
Okay. So I'm going to have to check it out. I love sci-fi. I'm going to have to check it out. Yeah. What's your all-time favorite science fiction film?
Film. Oh my God. You know what? There's so many. I mean, I'm not much younger than you. So growing up in the 80s, there was just so many. There's so many films. I mean, I just remember Cocoon.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Cocoon. And oh my God. I can't remember the film now. That song. Who's Johnny? She said and smiled in her special way. Oh my God. What was that film? With Steve Guttenberg.
I am drawing a blank.
Anyway, that one. He was a robot and he came alive. They were all really good.
The last one that I saw that I really, really liked, it didn't do that well at the box office, but I thought it was really well done. It was Ad Astra. Did you see it with Brad Pitt?
I haven't. It's on my list. I am about to watch that, actually.
I thought it was really good. Really good. So we'll have to check in and see what you thought of that. But you know, I'm with you. I could actually talk about this the whole time, but I think people would they'd be like, yeah, no. I'm gonna go listen to an actual sci-fi podcast. I'm not listening to Jason talking to Amy. So I'm actually gonna
move.
You can
actually remember the names.
Exactly. So next question for you, Amy. We're gonna talk about a little bit about the things that you like doing. In other words, things that are in your comfort zone and also maybe some things that are outside of your comfort zone. So to start with, inside your comfort zone are the things you either like doing, you're obviously comfortable with, they're natural for you, and it's an easy place for you to access. So what's something that's inside of your comfort zone that likely is outside of somebody else's?
Well, I actually am very comfortable talking in a small group or one-on-one. With people, I can talk for ages and I'm not nervous and it just comes naturally. I think with a lot of, because I was a singer for quite some time and I spent a lot of time around musicians and a lot of people found that actually quite difficult. They were great at kind of speaking on stage and addressing the audience. But as soon as they had to come down one-on-one and people are speaking to them, they find it they didn't know what to say. So I guess that would be my comfort zone one that I'm comfortable in doing.
Yeah, I find that really interesting. I've had a few guests on the show that are either musicians or speakers, and they talk about how they're so much more comfortable in front of large crowds performing than they are in one-on-one conversations with people. And I find that so fascinating, like what the difference is. I think for most of them, they don't like small talk.
They just don't know how to do it.
They might not like, because they don't know how to do it. They're just like, I just don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, I think you and I are similar. Like, I like small talk and I like to get to know people. So
yeah.
As long as we've got a conversation that's flowing, I'm good. But I get it, you know, it takes all types. So looking at next is, what's something that is outside of your comfort zone that's going to be inside of somebody else's?
Well, the reverse. I'm not very good at public speaking, I guess, in a large, large crowd. That does really scare me. I guess it's because like you're giving a speech and I don't know. I like communicating where you get an answer and then you get a reply and then you get a question rather than just give a speech to like about 500 people. That does.
Yeah. Yeah. So your worst nightmare would be doing comedy and drop a bunch of jokes and nobody laughs.
Oh God. Yeah. I think I'm funny anyway. So I laugh at myself. So if there's only small people, you know, a small group, that's fine. They kind of just laugh with me. But if there's like loads of people and you see nobody laughing, I'll just be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
What about singing in front of large groups of people?
I can do that. Singing is fine. Doesn't matter how many people. I get nervous when one person or there's about 1,000 people. That's not a problem. But speaking, yeah. No.
That makes sense. I am not surprised by that answer at all. Well, it's also, again, like because you're a singer and it's something you know that you're good at, it's not a problem versus the public speaking. You're thinking like, do they like my content? Am I stuttering? Am I moving correctly? All the other things around, like, I know I can go out and sing and deliver. So that makes total sense again.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect segue. It's almost like, you know, some other questions I'm going to ask you.
That is amazing. I'm psychic, by the way.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
So I give you 5 minutes on my global platform of my global communication platform, and everybody in the world gets to hear a message that you want to share with them.
Mm.
What is it you'd want to speak about or deliver to the world, and why?
I think I would like to talk about the benefits of being non-judgmental, and kind of hitting that home to everyone in the network. Because I think if you're non-judgmental towards other people, it will help you to be non-judgmental towards yourself. And I think then people will thrive better than kind of beating themselves up so much about making mistakes or doing things wrong. And I think it will help everybody else as well. Like, if you're not judgmental towards somebody else, you know, you're not, it's just better. I mean, why should you judge someone for what they're doing when it doesn't concern you? And I think this is part of the human mind that we've learned to do, is just gossip. And well, let's talk about should or shouldn't. I don't agree with that, but I really don't think that we should be doing it. So yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that so many people love doing that?
Because they don't want to focus on themselves, and it takes them away from what's going on with them. So they focus on other people, and it's the platform, isn't it? That's why we like celebrities. We want to look at gossip or who's going out with who. And, you know, when Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston broke up, everyone was so obsessed going, oh my gosh, what's going on? I'm like, really? Does it really matter? I mean, obviously it's awful what's going on for them, but why are you getting so involved in somebody else's life? Because it does, it takes them away from their lives, and they don't have to focus on anything maybe that's going badly or that they don't want to be living, I guess.
Yeah. So if you were going to give this speech, and let's say after the speech, there was a question and answer, and you were the expert on this topic, which it sounds like you are, on at least on speaking on it. And somebody said, hey, Amy, do you have any advice or pointers on how I can stop so easily going and focusing on celebrity gossip or gossiping about my friends or judging other people and be really more focused on myself? Do you have any actual advice for people around that?
You know what? It's funny because I used to be highly judgmental when I was younger, and it's taken a long time for that to kind of ebb away. And I think it's when I started, as you said, started to focus on myself and actually did some introspective work and go, okay, what is going on in my own life? And why do I feel like I need to judge other people when really they've got their own judge? I mean, you know, it's why are you doing it? We're not at the stage of throwing stones at somebody else because what they're doing, we think, is so wrong. So that's, I think this is kind of how it started. And I think that's what everyone, I think it will help them if they do that, just focus on themselves, write lists about what is going on with them and why they feel the need to be judgmental towards everybody else. And I think they'll get real answers just from that. Doing that.
Answers they may not like in the moment.
They may not like it, but you know what? You don't have to like everything. But hopefully in time you will.
Yeah.
It's just practice.
That's really great, Amy. I think that's good. That's a great topic. I also struggle with that. It's something I work on a lot for myself. I've realized, just like you, earlier in my life, especially, and I worked in sales. I talked a lot about this on the show, but I worked in sales. So sales is kind of all about judging, which is one of the things I don't like about it. And it's not that you're judging. It's not that you're judging people, like who they are, but you're always assessing, are they going to be a good potential customer? And like, you make assumptions about things because that's actually helpful, but it also can be really harmful. And it's only probably in the last 4 or 5 years where I've really started to work on that for myself. And it's more about the meet people where they are. And it's an old, you know, kind of cliche saying, but the idea of like, you never really know until you walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. Like, how can I actually know why this person is taking this action? Yeah, people take harmful actions when they hurt other people, that I'm never okay with that. But if like people are just doing, like, they're like, I don't understand why they're doing that. I'm like, yeah, but I don't understand their life. I don't understand them. Like, how would I understand? And maybe it doesn't actually make sense because it's actually not something that makes sense. Or it doesn't, when why does it have to make sense to me what other people are doing? So that's, I totally hear you on that.
You're right. You don't have to understand everything. I mean, I think the constant need to understand what other people are doing, what other people are going through. I mean, you can have empathy, absolutely, but you just have to kind of distance yourself. If you really don't agree with it, fine. We'll just leave them to it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's your spouse, your kids, or maybe like a business partner. Like, it's okay to agree to disagree. I mean, it's okay to disagree with people in your life, but there's usually a little bit higher stakes there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's different. If you're involved in it, then
Exactly. Very cool, Amy. We're going to take a really brief commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
The Talking to Cool People podcast is brought to you by Jason Frizzell Coaching. Jason works with amazing people who are looking to find and develop their passion and purpose and create their journey to wherever it is they want to go. Check us out at jasonfrizzell.com, Facebook, or on Instagram. Jason loves hearing from anyone who thinks it would be cool to connect, to be coached, or to be a guest on our show. Email him at podcast@jasonfrizzell.com or DM him on Facebook and Instagram. And now, back to some more amazing conversation on Talking to Cool People.
All right, Amy, we are back. How's it going so far?
It's going really well. I'm having a lot of fun. How about you, Jason?
I'm having a ton of fun and getting to know you. And I feel like we haven't really got to know you yet. So that is the part of the show we're moving into next. So Amy, this is where you get to share with me, with the audience, anything you'd like to about your life. So you shared a little bit about you're a voiceover artist now. You were a singer previously. You can share anything you want about your life. That doesn't have to be about your career. It could be about your personal life. Anything you want to share with us. Your favorite color, your favorite food, whatever you want. So Amy, the floor is yours, my dear. What would you like to share with us today about yourself?
Oh, thank you. Well, firstly, my favorite color is yellow for anybody out there.
Nice.
But I know. Okay. So when I was younger, I kind of suffered from a few disabilities. I had cataracts when I was 18 months old, which left me almost blind, almost, but not quite, which was in God's will, I guess. And then when I was 4 years old, they discovered that I had a rare medical disorder called sensory neuropathy type 2, which meant that I can't feel anywhere on my body, hot or cold, or light touch. So, which really means that when I cut myself, I don't know unless it gets infected. But I can feel on my lips and in my mouth, which is something I see, and almost, but not quite. And then what else came with that condition was osteoarthritis. And I saw the first symptoms of that when I was kind of like 9 years old. And the doctors didn't really know much about it. This was during the 80s. So the advice they gave was just to stop exercising because they thought that I might fall and break something. But what happened with that was I was actually quite active until that moment. And then I stopped. And because I stopped, I became immobile and I was almost in a wheelchair because I just didn't move. And getting up just out of a chair was like running a marathon. It was so difficult. And that also, that disorder meant that affected my spine, which meant that I stopped growing at the age of 11, 12 years old. So I'm quite short. So all of this put together kind of affected my confidence growing up. But I always loved to sing. I entered my first talent competition when I was 6 years old. So the singing was always there. And I have two older sisters. So they kind of paved the way and they kind of helped me, you know, with my confidence. Like having a life that I wanted to live rather than kind of just being just accepting what was at the time. But then when I was 16, I was in a private school because it was easier. It was so small. But when I was 16, I kind of left and went to a tertiary college, which means it's, I don't know what it would be for you, high school, I guess, at 16?
Yeah. It would be called high school in the United States. Yeah.
High school. Yeah. It was college here where you could leave normal school and it kind of mixed with a lot of different people, and they had a range of subjects, and I got to study music and music technology. And while I was doing that, they encouraged me to pursue jazz as my main singing my main genre of singing. And then I got into music college in Leeds, so then where I specialized in jazz, and I got a degree during that as well. But before I left, I kind of got rushed into hospital with ulcerated colitis. Well, I was very, very close to having my colon out, almost, but not quite. Are you sensing a theme here? Almost quite. So yeah, that was quite hard. So, but I did graduate, which was really cool. And then since then, I kind of came back and I kind of had to forge my own way, because the college didn't really have anything after that. They didn't have anything to put into place. Their idea of mentoring was to say, well, either become a teacher or go on a cruise ship. And I get very seasick, so cruise ship was out. Yeah. And teaching wasn't really what I wanted to do, because I was, I just trained in jazz performance, and that was all that I wanted to do at that time. So I kind of had to come back and forge my own way. And I did. I joined a charity-based jazz foundation for women and Jazz Heritage Wales. And through that, I got to do a lot of stuff. And then I joined a lot of other bands, with like pop bands and wedding bands. And then I wrote my own music. I kind of wrote 9 songs and I put it on an album. I recorded it with a few musicians and put it out there on Spotify and iTunes. And then when social media started to kick up, especially Instagram, I got noticed by a producer musician based in New York, and we collaborated on a few songs, which was really, really cool. So that is something I've always wanted to do as well. And then about 2016, I kind of left jazz, and I kind of sidestepped into kind of world music and country rock, because I watched a lot of Nashville, the TV show, and I absolutely loved it. And I got very inspired, I know. So yeah, that was, I think that's funny. My last song in 2017, which was a country rock duet, which was, I always wanted to do. So that's I wrote it, recorded it, and put it out there. Yeah,
that was a very unexpected left turn. I was not expecting you to say, and then I love country, American country western music, and I recorded a country duet.
Yeah, I'm full of surprises.
That's awesome. I'm a big country fan. So hearing that makes me happy.
Oh, good. Did you like Nashville TV show too?
I did not. I never saw it. I don't like that kind of show, but I like the music itself.
Well, the music came from the show, you see. So, you may not have liked the drama, but the music was quite fab.
Yeah, that's really cool. So what about now? What do you spend your days doing now?
Well, as I said at the beginning, now I've become a voiceover artist. I kind of was finding the music a little bit depressing, because it's a constant. The last single is never good enough, and it's all about what's coming up next. And I probably spent the whole of my life kind of doing that, not focusing on the here and now and thinking about the future. And that's something that I wanted to leave behind. And so I got into voiceover, and I absolutely love it. And I know COVID has been awful and such a curveball for so many people, but in regard to me professionally, it's been an amazing thing because of the online networking and the advantages that this has given me on an international level that I would never have predicted. And I didn't even mark in for when I was actually planning how I was going to do this. So it has been a surprise in a good way.
Yeah, that's great. So can we spend a little time on your voiceover career? Because I don't know a whole lot about that space. Like I think I know what a voiceover artist does, but I'd love to, if I could just ask you a few questions specifically about that. I'm personally interested and hope that our audience is, but if they're not, then at least I'll learn something. Is that cool with you, Amy?
Absolutely. Go for it.
So obviously I understand voiceover for commercials, voiceover for animation, voiceover for things like documentaries. What's for you is like a dream voiceover role? If you could design your dream voiceover role, what would it be? What would you want to spend your time doing?
It would be for like classy car ads or a perfume ad, I think. Yeah.
I'm just laughing because I don't know if in the where you are if the ads, but the perfume ads are usually so strange. Like they're so weird.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's like and you'd be like the Dijon. do you have Lincoln cars in the UK at all? Or in Great Britain, I mean?
Do we have what car, sorry?
The brand is Lincoln. Do you have that brand?
Oh, I don't think we do.
So I'm laughing about this because Matthew McConaughey, a few years ago, he was the spokesperson for Lincoln. And the commercials were literally him like driving around in a car at night and just speaking in the Matthew McConaughey voice. But it was kind of nonsense. But it was really cool and artistic. But it was also like, what are you talking about right now? it was him, it was him driving and he'd like just say some kind of Matthew McConaughey stuff. What would be your ideal car brand to do a voiceover ad for?
Oh, you know, I don't actually drive, but I do love a Lexus or a Mercedes.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That is on my eyes, you know, my sight.
Yeah. So if anybody listening hires voiceover, anybody listening from the advertising industry who specifically supports Mercedes or Lexus, Amy's your girl.
I am. Absolutely.
That's awesome. What about, do you do any animation work?
I have done. Yeah. I did back last year when I was just starting out. So I can do young girls' voices. So I did play an 8-year-old little girl, gingerhead little girl. I have to say the gingerhead because my hair is, not ginger. But yeah, that was actually very cool. I do like playing characters. I find that fun.
I can imagine it would be. I've got a friend whose daughter is, I'm not going to say the age because she'll probably listen to this and get mad at me. I don't remember exactly her age, but she is just getting into voiceover work too. And she's fabulous. So specifically for my friend I'm thinking of, but anybody else who might be listening today, who's interested in this industry for themselves, what kind of advice would you give to anybody who's interested in perhaps pursuing something inside of this field?
You know what? I've had a lot of singing experience, so it was kind of a natural progression, I think, because of the voice training that I've had. But if you've had no training, I would recommend using a voice coach just to let your vocal cords kind of flow out and to know how to use the different tones that you literally we all possess in our voices. And it's just getting it out of there and how to project your voice well. I mean, doing voiceover isn't easy. It's not just like reading like I thought it would be when I first started. It really isn't. there's a lot more that goes into it. So that's what I would recommend. Or even if you don't have the money to have a voice coach, then I'd say look on YouTube and get all those voice lessons. Make use of the social media that's around and get some knowledge in the voiceover area. And there's so many different things that you can do. As you said, there's animation, there's narration for audiobooks if you have like
Sure.
You know, there's videos for social media. There's the sound-alikes for people. I think I met somebody the other day that kind of sounds like Barry White. It has that low tone. So people ask him to do a lot of those growly things. So kind of listen to your voice, record your voice, listen to your voice, see where, you know, what it reminds you of. It just doesn't remind you of anyone. Then maybe just throw a wide net like I did and kind of do different things and see where the fish are caught.
Yeah. And how do you go out and procure roles or jobs?
Well, when I did it, the agencies weren't taking on voiceover artists who didn't have 1 year's paid experience. Mm-hmm. So I joined a pay to audition agency where you just pay up front and then you put your criteria in, and then they match you with jobs, then you audition for them. And then if they like your voice, you get the role. So that's how I did it. I've got a lot of experience doing that way. And then it's, so you know what, just networking, and it's just putting yourself out there and saying what you're doing. And you know what, a lot of people have been so supportive and they've like, oh, we never met a voiceover artist. But actually there's just loads, there's thousands of them out there. So there is a market for new voiceover artists out there if you really want to do it.
Yeah. And what's the title of the role of the person that you'd want to connect with that would be able to hire you?
The title, you know, I would love to connect with animators and videographers and website designers who would eventually need a voiceover artist, because a lot of people don't know that they need a voiceover artist until you kind of make them aware of it. And then they kind of like, oh, right. Yeah. Because they look at branding and they look visually and the content of, say, their website, but say they have a video that they want to explain because it's a little bit complicated, and just having mm-hmm. a normal or just having a voice explain it can really engage your audience and get more traction for your website. I really do believe that. And social media. I mean, we all know that, you know, as you said, for the perfume ads, you just get, okay, a famous celebrity, albeit, but, you know, yeah. a voice that you can hook onto. And then you remember, it's funny, you just remember it when you think of an ad and you go, oh, that's totally. One. You know, yeah. so it is quite important.
That's really cool. Who's your voice hero?
Oh gosh, you know what? I love Peppa Pig.
We are so in the zone today, Amy. I was just about to ask you, and I was trying to like not ask you because it feels stereotypical, but my daughter loves Peppa Pig. And so you love the voice of Peppa Pig, or you just love the show?
I love the show and I love her voice. And it's she came, so I mean, she was on a BBC program and it was the same girl who started doing it when she was like 5 or 6. And she's like 17 now or 17, 18.
Amazing.
And she can still put on that same voice. I'm like, wow, that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Peppa Pig is big here. You can go to like big retail toy stores here and they usually will have Peppa Pig toys. We have like a Peppa Pig car with the family. I think we have another like little play set. It's a big brand here now.
I can imagine. It's a big brand here.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And sometimes I have my daughter call me Daddy Pig. Like the muddy puddles. Which is
the muddy puddle.
Terrible. The muddy puddle. Terrible.
Oh, no, it is.
This is why
cool.
I'm not a voiceover artist.
Oh, no. You sound like you could be. It's just practice. Remember, Jason? Practice.
It's all practice. Thank you, Amy. Mm. Well, that's a really inspiring journey. I want to applaud you for like staying the course. And it sounds like you've been through a lot with your body and you're still out there doing good things in the world. So I just want to applaud you for that. Cause that sounds like a real challenge. And my guess is, I don't know you very well, but my guess is you are quite resilient and quite up to the challenge of almost anything that life throws at you.
Well, you know what, if you go through challenges, it does make you resilient. And I think that's what challenges are for. I don't think anybody can go through their life without challenges. And if they do, they probably won't know how to be, you know, how to be resilient and, you know, succeed no matter what's going on. And it's the mindset. I think having difficulties, it puts you in the right mindset to want to succeed. I mean, not everyone, granted, but for me, it actually did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, Amy. So now you get to ask me a question, or maybe even two if you have them. I had a guest who's like, so is it okay if I ask you two questions? I'm like, you're asking permission or you want to ask me two questions? Like, we're all good here. So Amy, this is the part of the show I call it the Aja, Ask Jason Anything. Since we don't really know each other, I'm very curious what's coming. So Amy, what would you like to ask me?
Oh, well, you already just said you had a daughter. And I know
I do.
You live in America.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to ask you, because I saw that you do coaching as well, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a professional certified coach. So I work specifically with high performing startups and people who work inside of them, which is obviously every startup because companies are just a group of people. So I do two things. I do a multitude of things, but I work with corporations at like the company level for group coaching. I do leadership and culture and organizational framework and culture development. And so that's more like a group level or a company level, or sometimes at a team level. And then I also work with individuals and do executive coaching. So I have some individuals who come from companies. Most all of my clients come from companies. Some of them are paid for by the company. And so like the company says, hey, we want to hire Jason to coach inside our company. And as part of that, you're going to be coaching these people. Some people hire me outside of the company out of their own funds because they're working on things that may be related to their job, maybe related to other things. So I do both. I do all those different things.
So do you think that's why you like to do your podcast? I mean, does it help you in the coaching relate to all different types of people that you meet?
I've never thought about this. It's a good question. Mm-hmm. I have answered a different question. I'm going to answer a different question, which I think will help you with this or help you to answer that question. So people will ask, some of my guests will ask me like, why do I do this podcast? And this is the truth of this podcast. When I was little, I wanted to be Johnny Carson / Jay Leno. So I wanted to be the host of a show, and they're the host of the Tonight Show. We're the host of the Tonight Show. I don't know if you probably don't get the Tonight Show there, but famous.
Oh, yeah, I love it the Tonight Show.
Yeah. And you know, now it's Jimmy Fallon is the host of the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And I always wanted, and I've always been a real people person. I'm a total extrovert. I just really, really like humans for the most part. Mm-hmm. And so I always thought it'd be really fun to just talk to interesting people about things. And about a year, I guess it was a year and a half ago, I was on my first podcast and I got done with it as a guest. I'm like, that was really cool, Jim. He was the host of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then I just like literally, so I have a coach too. And I went to my coach. I'm like, I'm going to start a podcast. He's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. Cause I want to, it seems fun. And so I did. And I didn't, it's not related to helping me in my business. That's not why I do it. I do think that there's, to me, like as a lover of humanity and somebody who's fascinated by people, it's certainly helpful. Like, how can it not be helpful to talk to you and hear your perspective on things and then talk to somebody else in a completely different related field and talk about the thing? So yeah, it does. It does help me in that way. I think it's more for me holistic though. It helps me be a better human and kind of goes back to what we, to your speech actually. And thank you. This is a good question. I'm an external processor, so I'm coming up with this on the spot. Mm-hmm. It does help me to work on my judgment or lack thereof, because it helps me to understand people's stories. Not that I'm judging you, but it helps me just get a different, with each guest that I have on, it helps me to learn more about what people are up to and different perspectives and thoughts and opinions and feelings and morality and how it all, and the theme of all that is, it actually all generally works. And how it generally works is if your intentions are good.
Yeah.
If your intentions are good, you can do almost anything. You can have almost any opinion. And by the way, good is a subjective term. So what I may think are good intentions, you might think are terrible intentions, but so yeah, the long-winded answer to your question is yes, it does help me with my coaching, and I never thought about it that way. So thank you. That's a really cool question that got me thinking about something new. And this, you are proving in real time why I do this show, because I get to have moments like that where I get to learn about you, and then you get to ask me a question and go like, huh, it's a good question. So hopefully that answered it for you, and wanted to see if you had any follow-ups or anything else you wanted to ask me. And thank you again.
No, I think that has answered it. But you are right. I mean, the term good is very subjective. And I think maybe if you look at it as in, it was, you're doing it out of your heart. So you had good intentions, purely good intentions from the, you know, from a heart, soul level.
That's right.
I think that's the best you can do, really.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much, Amy. That was a really thoughtful question that it was thought provoking, and I really enjoyed answering it. And it's not something I've ever thought about before. So.
Oh, good.
Great way to start my Monday. Thank you. All right, Amy, back to you. So what are you passionate about?
You know what? I'm passionate about life, I guess. And I'm passionate about helping people. I've always loved helping people. I think because I've lacking confidence, I never really thought that I can help people. But I'm coming to a stage where even it's the little things, and it makes me feel good. So I do love helping people.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to help people?
It's just the little things. I mean, I don't know if you've heard about the 5 languages of love. Have you read about that?
Of course I have. Oh my God. Yeah. We could spend another hour on this. I'm not an expert on it, but I certainly know my love language and I know my wife's love language. And I'm glad you bring this, because this is actually something that you can relate to with clients when you're coaching them. Because a lot of the things, especially in career-based stuff, a lot of the times is the way they're being treated is like not their love language, and their manager and leaders haven't taken the time to understand. So yes, let's talk about love language for a couple minutes. I would love to talk about that if you'd love to talk about it.
Absolutely. Again, I don't know that much about it, but it's I find it very interesting, because if you look at, say, you and your wife, or if you look at, you know, different people, and you have to think, why are they having arguments, or why, you know, they're not getting on very well, or why they're having miscommunications? And it's because their love language is too different. So for me, mine is time. So I give my time. I love spending time with people, and that is my main one, and that's how I show that I care or I love someone. So what's yours then?
Take a wild guess.
Oh God. Time. I say time as well.
Absolutely. I'm a 90. Yeah. I've taken the one where they give you a number. I'm a 90% quality time. For me, there's nothing better. And this, and again, this goes back to your question about the podcast, and it actually goes back to what I do. I'm a 98% extrovert and I'm a 90% quality time. So for me, spending time with people, that's all I really need to feel loved and fulfilled. Like, do you also know the in the five love languages, the idea that just because we like to receive it that way doesn't necessarily mean the person we're with that's as important to them?
Oh, yes. And that's the point. And that's why figuring out what your love language is in a relationship is good, because then you'll realize, like, let's say my dad is different to my mom. So my dad's love language is kind of giving things. And I can't remember what
gifts.
Yeah, he loves giving gifts spending money and giving gifts. And my mom is me, so it's time. And both my sisters are different as well. And we were laughing about all of this. And that's why we're like, oh, you know, we have, as I said, miscommunications. And it's like, oh, they don't love us enough, or they don't care for us as we care for them. So it is important, actually. And if you can,
it's very important.
You can just accept that we have different love languages, and we accept that somebody else has difference to ours, then we'll just be happy. And we'll go, oh, no, this is how they're showing us or giving us affection. And we'll... we're happy about it.
Well, for the audience, if you don't know about the five love languages, you can, you know, it's based on, it was originally one book, and then they wrote a book on the five love languages, I believe, of teenagers. They wrote one on, I don't remember, they wrote one on like children that are not teenagers. I think there's one that's related to business. And then the primary one is the five love languages. So for anybody who's not familiar with it, who doesn't want to read the whole book, the five love languages are quality time, which is what Amy and I are both, quality time. So spending time with somebody, like, that's the thing. And quality time does not mean you're both staring at your phones. It's like, you know, for my wife and I, I'm a quality time. My wife, that's probably her number two. Even for us, like picking a show that we like watching together, or watching a movie, like, we consider that quality time. What's not quality time is running around with a kid, or being in a space together, but not actually spending what you would call quality time, or each being distracted is usually not considered quality time. So it's quality time, words of affirmation. That's a big one. That's my wife's primary love language, is words of affirmation. That is not one that actually resonates much for me. And you see this a lot, actually, the disconnect here. You'll see this in companies a lot, where it's like, good job, Amy, you're doing such a great job. And like, that's not actually what you want. What you actually want is like your manager to sit down with you and like, hey, I want to sit down with you and spend time with you and help you grow. Like, you don't need to be told the good job. Like, most people like it, but it's not the primary. So those are the first two. The third one is acts of service. So you see this one a lot, like, hey, I really want to, I want to cook you dinner. Hey, let me go shopping for you. The fourth one is physical touch. So this is sexual and it's not just sexual thing. It's sexual, non-sexual. Holding hands, hugging, just literally physical touch. And the last one we talked about is gifts. I am neither a big fan. I am not a fan of receiving gifts. It is by far my least favorite love language. I do like giving gifts, but I much prefer to give my time.
Yeah, no, that is true. And I think giving gifts, I think thoughtfulness is not just about just giving any gift. That's the most expensive.
Right.
It's about the thought. If there's a thought behind it, it can be like the smallest thing, like one flower. But if it means something, then I think I love that.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. No, so we could talk about sci-fi and the five love languages for the whole show. you have to come back again sometime when when you're on the next big BBC cartoon, and then I can say I knew Amy when. All right. Next up, Amy, what is a thing about your life that you are most proud of?
Oh, you know, that's a hard one, because I went through most of my life going, I'm not proud of anything, even though I've done quite a lot. It's probably lack of confidence and not appreciating what I have and living in the moment, I guess, if I'm being honest. But the one thing I'm most proud of, I guess, are the songs that I've written, because I never thought I could. I used to write poetry. But when people say, oh, you know, write some songs, I was like, oh, no, I can't do that, until I wrote my first album. And then the three 3 or 4 songs after that. And that is what I am most proud of.
Well, that's a fantastic timing, because for this episode, Amy, those who listened or heard, we've got a sample of your music at the beginning of the episode, which is not generally how I start my episode. And we're going to put another sample of your music for the closing music here today. So people are actually going to get a chance to hear what you're most proud of. How about that?
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Surprise. It's good. It's good. It's good to know the right people.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Amy, what is something that you're afraid that might actually be true about you?
You know what? I don't think I'm afraid of anything, because I mean, I probably used to be. There's a lot of things about me that, you know, I didn't like, or I thought, oh, people, because I'm quite stubborn, but I accept that. And I did like to always be right. But I think as I've gotten older, I've kind of done some introspective work, and I kind of understand my flaws and I accept it. So I don't think I'm afraid of what people will say. I will just take that on board and kind of work with it.
Yeah. I love the topic of being right. I'm also somebody who likes to be right. And it's funny, because just like the word good, right is actually pretty subjective. Not all the time. Yeah. There are some things that are scientific or, you know, mathematic, but there's a lot of things that are like, I'm right about this. And you're like, well, are you really right about this? That seems like an interpretation. There's a funny, and this is actually something funny that we will look at in coaching, is your attachment to being right and what you're willing to give up to be right.
Oh my God, that's so true. And that's a great topic.
Yeah. And for a lot of my life, and even days of my life now, I'm willing to give up a lot to be right, because it's such an ego thing. And somebody once said this to me, I think it's a really funny way to look at it. It's like, is that the hill that you're willing to die on today? Like, is that the hill that you're willing to just climb and like be your last battle? Is it really worth it at the top? Is this really the thing that you want to die on? Is this really the battle that you're willing to win at all costs? Is it really worth it? And for me, I'm always working on like, is it worth it? And when I'm not feeling so good, the answer is usually like, yes, it's worth it, because I need to fill my ego up. But when you can step away from that and be like, and this goes back to what you shared about less judgment, is like, what's actually available if I'm not right? And maybe it's right to me. And I think that's totally fine to own, like, hey, to me, this is right. Amy, what do you think? I'm open to your suggestions. I'm open to your feedback. I'm open to a different point of view.
Right.
Because if you're not necessarily right about something that you think that you are, there's probably something to learn and probably something that can be created that's even more powerful than, you know, what we can create in our own quote unquote rightness.
That, you know, that's so true. And that's why it helps to talk to different people from all walks of life. I mean, if you're just talking to the people in your immediate circle and they all think the same way of you, there's no growth, there's no learning, there's no expanding your knowledge to what is out there. And I really would, urge everyone to talk to strangers almost. I mean, when this pandemic ends, and you see what their take on even like a simple subject that you're thinking about, and think about how you can learn something different. Like I go through my day thinking, if I can learn even one thing new, then that has made my day worth the day that I've had, whatever the day holds. Just that one thing is just, I'll go to bed happy because I've expanded my mind. And but for me, that's a great thing, though. That's a big thing on expanding my knowledge and my viewpoint, and having a different way of looking at things, one that I didn't even think about.
Very cool, Amy. So we're going to start to wrap up today. I want to ask you about a little bit more about your general philosophy on life. You've obviously been sharing this throughout the episode today, but I want to give you a chance. Like, if you could summarize your philosophy in life, then I'm not going to give you a limitation on the number of words or time or anything like that, but how would you summarize the general way that you look at life and see the world?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm just going to reiterate what I said. It's like, be open-minded, look at life maybe every day with a child's point of view, get excited about the day, even if you're going to dread it, you know, find some positive thing that you can get excited about, and just live life. And, you know, I don't know. approached it with positivity, because if you approach it with negativity, things are just going to work out badly. And we all know our state of mind affects what goes on in our reality on a daily basis. So it's always good to have a good mindset. Hopefully when you wake up, it's not easy for everyone. I know some days I struggle, but if you start off with just finding just a little thing to be thankful for, just appreciating what's around you and what's good in your life, and it will set you off for a better start, I think. And if you can do that on a daily basis, as I said, practice makes everything perfect. And you will just be it will just be so in you to do that, that you won't even think about it. And you'll see how that will change your life.
Love that. What are you thankful for today? Monday, January 25th.
I'm thankful that the sun shined. Yes. I am thankful for that, because I do love the sun and it puts me in a better mood. And I'm thankful that I get to speak to you, Jason, because I get love meeting new people, and you know, I really just get to know you, which is great.
Flattery will get you everywhere in this show. You're like, I'd like to come back sometime. I should probably flatter him near the end of the episode here. That's great.
No
agenda at all. But you did say that your favorite color is yellow, so the sun, that makes a lot of sense to me. And the sun is lovely.
The sun is lovely, isn't it?
The sun is lovely. Yes. Vitamin D. And this time of year too, where we don't get nearly as much sun as we do later in the year, or in the summer, spring and summer.
And it's a different kind of sun. It's like that wintry sun, but it's a lovely sun. It just makes you feel good.
Yeah, exactly. So Amy, is there anything else from our conversation today that either you brought up or I brought up, or something that's popped into your mind as we were talking today that you'd like at this point to go back with and share with the audience?
I can touch on everything that we've just talked about, Jason, so you're going to have to be a little bit more specific.
Well, this is a question. Is there anything that's popped up for you that you're like, I want to share something throughout the episode that you haven't shared with us yet? And the answer, no, is totally appropriate if there's nothing
else.
No. Perfect.
I know.
How can the audience find you, get in touch with you, hear your music, hear your voiceover work? Like, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
Well, thank you for the question, Jason. This is one I can answer. Well, I have everything on my website at amysinha.com, or I am on LinkedIn, Amy Sinha, on Facebook and Instagram, Amy Sinha Voice. But basically, if you just Google my name, everything you need to know will come up. Even like if you put my name on Spotify or iTunes or Amazon, you will find me.
And to make it even easier, you will find all of this in the show notes as well. And your favorite podcast app, whatever you're listening to the show on, we will put all this in there as well, Amy, so people can very easily find you without even having to remember your name, as long as they remember the episode they listen to.
But I hope they do remember my name, because my name is a little bit distinctive.
It is. Amy Sinha is a little distinctive. Very cool. All right, Amy. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on, and I have a tradition on the show. Where my guest will leave us with some words of wisdom. And these words of wisdom should not be a novel. They should be, I've had a couple guests, I'm like, that doesn't fit on a post-it note. What do you have for us in terms of words of wisdom?
Oh, you can put on a post-it note. Okay. So live and love passionately and without regret.
I wish I could somehow capture not only I can capture the text of that, but I wish I could somehow capture your voice saying that into some sort of text thing outside of this podcast, which I guess I could, but it's just the way you say that is so beautiful, and the way that you use your voice to say that. The truth is, Amy, I have a big crush on people from Great Britain, just overall. I used to do a lot of work over in London, and I just find that area of the world to be like, the people are just so, I find the humor is great. I love the accent. It's like a fun loving group of people. I find that like Great Britain, I just find that to be a really great, no pun intended, group of people that I've really enjoyed spending time with. So I wanted to save that for the end for you, so you weren't feeling nervous about this whole episode, knowing that you had to stand up to some sort of stereotype about people from Wales.
Well, can I just say to end off, if people don't know where Wales is, you just have to think of one Tom Jones. You know
of
who
course.
Tom Jones is? Yeah. Okay,
course.
Shirley Bassey.
Yeah, of course.
and the one and only Catherine Zeta-Jones. I'm sure you know.
Oh, right. That's
right.
And
she comes from Swansea, which is where I live right now.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever. So if she speaks in her natural dialect, she's Welsh.
She is Welsh. Yeah, it's kind of a hint of American now, isn't it? It's quite posh.
But, I mean, I haven't seen her in quite a while and things. I was just thinking about when she was in Chicago. I'm like, I don't remember it. But well, and also
she was American. She played an American in Chicago.
She did play an American. That's a very American show. Yes.
Yeah.
Also, there's a, what is it? Welsh pie? Isn't that a food? Like, isn't there some sort of Welsh stew, or there's some sort of Welsh food? It sounds vaguely familiar to me. I don't know.
Welsh cake.
Maybe. And then also, isn't Wales also known for blankets and such? Like a lot of sheep? Am I making
all
that's
the whole
right
of
now?
The UK. No, it is. Yes, right. We have a lot of sheep. But you know what? The whole of the United Kingdom has a lot of sheep on the hills. Yes.
Sheep on the hills.
That is.
All right.
We are known for sheep.
I'm like really showing my dumb American. I'm like, so I don't know. Like, do you all drink, you know, like, do you all go to pubs and, is Winston Churchill your favorite person ever?
Well, he did a lot for the UK, but a lot of people say that they don't like Winston Churchill.
Yes,
but,
absolutely. You know. Yeah. Very nice, Amy. Thank you. That was a nice little diatribe on myself at the end, outing myself for being ignorant today. Thanks for being with me. Well, I want to thank you again for being on. It was really nice to get to know you. I wish you the best of luck in everything you're up to with all the different stuff you have going on. And everybody, please stay on for the end of the episode if you want to hear some beautiful music from my guest today, Amy. So thank you so much, Amy.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jason. It's great to get to know you and be on
thank
your show.
Thank you too. Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Talking to Cool People with Jason Frizzell. If you enjoyed today's episode, please tell your friends, follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and give us a shout out, or take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. If something from today's episode piqued your interest and you'd like to connect, email us at podcast@jasonfrizzell.com. We love hearing from our listeners because you're cool people too.